evening. So I said,
my granddaughter said she heard you in Shalavim, but she didn't have a chance to say hello because you ran out so far.
Yeah, they slapped me from one place to the other. Woo! Kuf Tet Zvav. I think we left off 2 weeks ago on Kuf Tet Zayin Omer Aleph on the top, about five lines from the top. We dedicate the learning tonight to Zecher Nishmas Reb Chaim Ben Aryeh Leib, who's your side this tonight, today. The Gemara and the previous Omud on Kuf Tet Zvav Omud Beis, the Gemara was quoting different Tanoim who give different Mekoiris to establish that Basa B'chalav is also B'achila and the Basa B'chalav is also B'hanoah. So one of the Tanaim said, there should be a Kavachaymer. Amrit Kavachaymer, that was in the middle of Kuf Tet Zvav Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Kavachaymer is like this. We already know from a Pasuk, Lo Sechel Kol Tayev Kol Shati Avta Lecho, the Basa B'chala B'zasa B'achila. So the question is, some Macholas Asuras are also Asa B'anoah, and some are only Asa B'achila Mutta B'anoah. So should we say that this Basa B'chalav, this Macholos HaSuris, is also Asa B'hanoah or not? So they made a Kavacham, Ma Orlo. Orlo is Asa B'achila and also Asa B'hanoah, despite the fact that in Evda B'aveira, he planted the tree, it's Behetta Gomi, a lot of plant the tree. And the first 3 years, whatever pears grow, a lot of times nothing will grow. Whatever pears grow the first 3 years, and not only Asa B'achila, the Asa B'hanoah, so Basa B'chalav, which we know is Asa B'achila, and it is Nevda B'Avera, it should be Al-Kal V'Chemer, then it should be Asa B'anoah. So the Gemara says no. How do you assume that Basa B'chalav is more Chomer than Orla? Orla is Kal, and Basa B'chalav is Chomer, because Orla was Lai Nevda B'Avera, and the Basa B'chalav is Nevda B'Avera. Reg the Gemara, Ma'ali Al-Shken, L'Hoysa L'Shas HaKosha, Orla, when it grows from the tree, it's right away Asa B'achila, Asa B'anoah. The Basa B'chalav started off, the Basa was kosher and the Chalav was kosher. When you cook them together, they become treif. So maybe since Hoysa Lo Shas HaKosher, so maybe that's a Kal. Orlo's Lo Hoysa Lo Shas HaKosher was also from the very outset, from the very beginning, maybe that's Chomer. So how can you tell me Al Kal B'chomer that Basa B'chalav is more Chomer than Orlo? Maybe Orlo is more Chomer than Basa B'chalav. So the Gemara says, no, you can't say that Issa HaNoah is a function of Lahoysa Lashasa Kosha. Chametz bePesach Yachia, Chametz all year long is Mutta B'Achila, Mutta B'Anoah. When it comes Pesach, it is also B'Anoah. So you see, it cannot be that characteristic, that Lahoysa Lashasa Kosha, is what leads up to an Issa HaNoah. Chametz bePesach is also B'Anoah without being also from the very outset. In fact, the Gemara, what kind of a tzushta? Malu Chametz Ashkena Onish Koris. Maybe the only time you can have an Issa HaNoah on Macholos HaSuris. The whole category, a list of Macholos HaSuris, some of them are Asa B'anoah, some of them are Mutta B'anoah. So maybe the only time Hoysa Lo Shas HaKosher, and nonetheless it becomes Asa B'anoah, that's because Chametz BePesach is Koris. Masheini Kein by Basa B'cholah, there's no punishment of Koris. So Agdi Gemara, Kloi HaKerem Yochichu. What's that? Shein onish karis v'asa b'anoah. Klai kerem has no karis and it's still asa b'anoah. So the Gemara, fine. So the Gemara here picks up on that, on the fifth line from the top. Freg the Gemara, that when you reach that point of klai hakerem yochichu, Chametz bePesach proves that the characteristic of lo hoysa lo shasa kosher cannot be the goreim. Lo rizek kivizeh, the chumre the chametz has, namely the has kares, cannot be what's gorim to Issa HaNoah, because kol hakerem is asa b'anoah, and the chumre of lohoysa lo shasa kosher cannot be by orla lohoysa lo shasa, cannot be that's what's gorim Issa HaNoah v'haray the chametz b'pesach. So neither the chumre of kares nor the chumre of lohoysa lo shasa kosher, you see that there are things that are asa b'anoah, even though there's no kares, so therefore it should be a kavachaymer from Orla. Orla no avera was done, and it's also b'anoah, so kavachaymer over here. Freg de Gemara, in that series of the arguments back and forth, which is machomer, Freg de Gemara, why didn't the Brisa bring out the following idea? For Lifrach, there's a pircha against this. Malakal Hakem Shken Lohoy Salahem Shas HaKosher. What does Klei HaKerem mean? Let's say you have, I want to plant grapes over here and I want to plant wheat over here. So you have to have a harchoka. You can't plant it up until the edge of the border unless you have a fence. If you have a fence, or even if you have an Erev, what we call Tzuras HaPesach, an Erev, so not only is it good for Shabbos purposes, it's good for Kalayim also. Even though it doesn't prevent everything from growing on top of each other, that's the halacha. Tzuras HaPesach has the status of a mechitza, so there's no Klei HaKerem. And if you don't have a mechitza, you don't have an Erev, then you have to be marchik a little bit, so you have harchoka of Dalet Amos in between the grapes and the grain. So let's say there was a fence, and the fence fell down. Mechitza HaKem Shenifritzo. Mishnah like that. Mechitza HaKem Shenifritzo, the fence fell down. And the stuff keeps on growing. So whatever grows after the fence fell down, this is the way Rashi learns, whatever grows after the fence fell down is growing, and there is no harchaka v'dal ramas. They plant, because there was a fence, so they planted grapes all the way up until the fence. They planted grain all the way up to the fence, it was planted behet. Then Mechitza HaKem Shenifritzo, the fence falls down. Now whatever is going to grow is awesome. But whatever's going to grow is also going to be a mashahu. Let's say had the grapes were already a significant size. A little mashahu grows, so the mashahu of Klei HaKerem is bottle berayv. It's going to be bottle berayv of the rest of the grape. And the kernels of grain that are growing on this side, the kernels of grain reached a certain size before the fence fell down. So the mashahu of grain that continues to grow after the fence fell down is also going to be bottle berayv. So at what point will it be so much Klei HaKerem? They're not going to grow at the same rate of growth. I don't know which one grows faster, whether the grapes grow faster or the grain grows faster. When the grapes will have, when the grapes will be twice as big as they were before, this way Rashi seems to learn. Up until, when you say bitl beroy, vos heist, the grape that grew before the fence fell down was all heter. Whatever part of the grape continues to grow after the fence fell down is Klei HaKerem. It's also bachil, also bano. But that's always going to be bottle berayv. So when will it be also, when will it no longer be bottle berayv? When it's twice as big as it was before. Because if it's slightly less than twice as big, let's say the grape was the size of a half a grape, and now grew so much the size of a full size grape. So now you have 50-50. 50% of it is grape heter, 50% is grape shalisa, because whatever grew after the fence fell down is also banon. Same thing with the grain. The kernel grain had a certain size before. So whatever grew afterwards is a taruvus of mimbimino, is grape and grape, or it's grain and grain. So it's bottle bereiv. The whole din of shishim is only midirabonim by mimbimino. Shishim, you only need shishim in atura when you have mimbimino. If chazeshmatz falls into a vegetable soup, so then it's nice and tam up until shishim. Once you have shishim, it's no longer nice and tam. And whatever it's nice and tam, I say tam ki ikir, and you cannot say that it's batel beroy. But if it's trefi grape gets mixed in with kosher grape, the grape keeps on growing. So the taruv is a grape big grape, and the grain that grew, the part of the grain that grew after the fence fell down is osa bachila osa bano. The part of the grain that grew before was muta bachila muta bano. So it's going to be batel beroy, but up until the point that is twice as big as it was before. Twice as big than it's machsa amachsa, so it's no longer batel beroy. So that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Rashi understands that min ha-Torah, mechitzas hakem she-nifritzo, mechitza fell down, so the grapes will only become aser if it grew to the size twice as big as it was before, and the grain will only become aser, they're not going to necessarily be growing at the same speed of growth. That's what Tais points out in Ksubis and other Masechtas in Baba Basra. Grapes and the grain don't necessarily grow at the same speed. So when it's going to be, when this is going to be twice as big as it was before, and this is going to be twice big, then the whole thing will be awesome. So that's the din min ha-Torah. The derabbanan, there is a chumra that truma, let's say I have wine of truma, falls into wine of chulin. So min ha-Torah, wine and wine is min b'minoy. So the din is min b'minoy is batel b'rayv. So if I have, a gallon of wine of truma fell into a volume of a gallon and a half of wine and chulin. So min ha-Torah is batel chad b'tray. Midirabbana, they were machmer that in order to be mevatel truma, you have to have meyer. You have to have 100 units of heter against the 1 unit of is. The Gemara made a whole asmachta, the sifra makes an asmachta from a pasuk that you need meyer. So then the Gemara says that truma is only also bachila mutabano. Or look, like kerem is twice as chomer as truma. Not only is it also bachila, it's also bano. So since kofal isura, it's a double isa, it's asa b'achila and asa b'ana, so kafal aliyasa. So you need twice as much to be mevatle, so you need masayim. So if you need masayim, you need twice as, you need 200 units of heter against the one unit of isur. So that's why the brisa already has the din mederabbanan built in. If there was a mechitzas hakerem and the grapes growing over here on this side up until the fence and the grain going here, the fence falls down. So if the grape grows slightly, it doesn't have to grow to twice as much as min haTorah, the grapes will only become treif if they're twice as big as they were before, so you no longer have roif. Min haTorah, a roif doesn't have to be, the Gemara has a lashon, chad betray is bottle. Let's say one treif of salami gets mixed in with two kosher salamis. So if it says on the label, this is kosher salami, this is not a kosher salami, so there's not a taruvis, it's nikar isa. There are no labels. So one tray for salami gets mixed in with two kosher salamis, chad betray bottle. So some poskim say chad betray, it's only bottle berayv if you have kefil, if you have twice as much. And we don't hold like that. You don't need kefil. Lavdav chad betray. If you have 10 tray for salamis got fell in with 11 kosher salamis, it's 11 to 10, it's also bitl berayv. Bitl berayv is if there's 49% iser, 51% heter, slightly more heter than there is iser. That's called bitl beroy. 51 is rive of 100. 51 is rive of 100. So min ha-toira, the grape that grows after the fence fell down is also, the grape that was there from before is mutter. So the only time, it's going to be bitl beroy. Whatever grew after the fence fell down, bitl beroy up until the time that it's going to be twice as big. With the rabbana we machme of hoisif masayim, if the grape is slightly larger in size than it was before the fence fell down, how much larger? Hosef Masayim, 1/200th of the size that it had before. So now you only have 199 units of heter against the one unit of Issa. So then will be Machmen Midirabbana. According to Rashi, Hosef Masayim Asar is only a din Midirabbana. It's not a din Minator. Minator, the grapes will only become Basar if it's twice as big as it was before. Because up until the point, twice as big as Batal Berai. And with the Rabbanon, the Roiv, to be Mevatel Kalei HaKerem, has to be Masayim. You have to have 200 units of Heter. So if the grape grew slightly more than it was before, very little, Masayim, 1/200th of the size it was before, so we only have 199 units of Heter against the one unit of Iser, so then it's not going to be Batel Berai. That's the way Rashi reads in the Gemara.
Very quick. What is this? The two outside rows are only Iser?
Right, only those that are within close proximity, within dollar amas.
The two,
right.
The roads that are budding each other.
Right, the grapes.
The
grapes that are over here that are dollar amas away from the grain, that's mutter. Right, and the grain that's more than dollar amas away from all the grapes is not involved in these. Only those that are within dollar amas to each other. That's right. Yeah. So the Rashi all over in Shas, whenever the Gemara talks about the fence falling down, mechitza kem shenifritza, and it grows, hosim asayim, Rashi always gives the same spiel. Rashi always says the same shot. That's why the Minchas Chinuch says, he doesn't understand the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch writes that hosim asayim is a din deraisa. So how can it be a din deraisa? It's b'feirush gemaras that the requirement that you need meyo to be mevatel truma, and the requirement therefore that you need masayim to be mevatel kalei hakerem, because kalei hakerem is not only asabachil asabano, it's twice as chomer as truma, so therefore you need twice chumra to be mevatel truma, mimimini, you need meyer, to be mevatel klaikam, you need masayim. So it's a beferish gemara that all of this is only mederabbanan. So how can this say for achinach, right, that it's a din deraisa? So the Minchas Chinuch says he doesn't understand it. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky has in his commentary on the Tosefta, he says that the Minchas Chinuch obviously didn't have the Ramban on the Gemara, on the first daf in Bava Basra. And Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara Babasa quotes a Mishnah from Kalayim about Mechitza Sakem Shenifritza. The fence fell down, and now the stuff keeps on growing, or whatever grows. So he says the Ramban presents a different Shita, and obviously the Sefer HaChinuch holds like that also. And he quotes that the Reim holds the same as well. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky wrote the commentary on the Tosefta. So he, it's called Chazon Yecheskel. He was not a Novi, but he called it Chazon Yecheskel. So he points out the Ramban says, not like Rashi, that whatever grows, a mashahu that grows after the fence fell down is already osir, but it's always going to be batel beroy, batel beroy, batel beroy, till it's twice as big. No, osim asayim is a shir deraisa. whatever grows after the fence fell down is not asa yet. The pasuk says, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Pentugda shamleya shatizra otvua sakorim. Pasuk in Dvarim. Here the Gemara quotes here. Dvarim chav beis. You should be careful. This is a karma chav kelayim. You shouldn't plant kelayim because if you do, it'll be asa bachil and asa mano. Pentugda, it'll become kodesh. Kodesh sometimes means hegdish. Here it doesn't become hegdish. Here it'll become asa bahano. Kodesh is asa mano. So it means kleakem will become asa bahano. And not only asa bahano, we divide isuri hano, the Mishnah in the very end, next to the last Mishnah in Tmura, lists off all of the isuri hano. Some of them are tunim sreifa, some are nisrafim, some are nigbarim. Let's say by mistake you cooked the flesh in a milchik pot. Or by mistake, a little milk fell into the fleshig food that's cooking, so it becomes basam b'chol, becomes asa b'hanor. So what do you do with the basam b'chol? So you throw it in the garbage. Is there a mitzvah that you have to burn it? No. Orla klakem is a mitzvah that you have to burn. Chametz b'pesach is a machloikas hatanaim. Rabbi Yehuda holds ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa, and the chachamim hold hashmasasam b'chol dov. You don't need dafke sreifa. Let's say pigal noisa tomei. Said it's harafta sanoisa beish. Noisa is a mitzvah. You have to dafke burn it. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim that the same is true regarding pigul and tomei. If the carbon became nispagel, or the carbon became nitma, so it's also dim a sarafta. All psuli hamagdoshim atuunim sreifa. So the pasuk says lesiz karmacha kilaim. You should be careful not to plant kilaim because if you did pentugda shamleya azera shetizra, it'll become kodesh asbano, and the Gemara darshins pentukdash pentukareish. You'll have to burn it. That's the mocker. It's a very strange mocker. That's the mocker for the din. We assume it's a din deraisa that orl, that kloy hakerim is bisreifa. How do you know that orlo is bisreifa? So somehow Tosfos and Rashi in the end of Temura say somehow the Tanoim understood that orla and kloy hakerim are equal. So since the pasuk says that kloy hakerim is pentukdash, and tukareish, it's understood that tukareish applies also to orla, that it's minhan isrofim. So the Gemara is going to comment on this daf. We're soon going to get to it. Hamleya means that it has to grow to a certain size. So that's what the Ramban and the Sefer Yireyim and the Sefer Achinach apparently understood. We'll have to see the Gemara in 2 minutes. This shear Hosam Asaim is a shear deraisa. It's not like Rashi held that whatever grows after the fence fell down is also, but it's always going to be bottled bereiv up until the point that it's kefil, twice as big as it was before. And with the Rabbanon, you need Masaim to be Mavatlas. If it grew just a slight bit after the fence fell down, you only have 199 units of heter against the 1 unit of Isa, then it's already not bottled with the Rabbanon. So that's how Rashi held. But this group of Rishonim hold Hamaleya means it has to grow a significant amount. So the Shia Masayim is a Shia Derais. Up until Hosam Masayim, nothing is awesome. Only after Hosam Masayim, then it starts to become awesome. Not like Rashi. According to Rashi, the Minchaskin has a long Arichas. Explains that according to Rashi, it's only awesome once it becomes twice as big as before.
Is this a Chose Veneer situation? By both, according to both Rashi or the Uran, Deraisa?
Yes, that's the Ramban on the first daf in Bava Basra. It talks about kama bottle. How come you say, according to Rashi, a little bit grew and it became bottle. A little bit more grew, became bottle. Everything up until the point of Hosim Asayim, or Minatar, up until the point of twice as big. So why don't you say kama bottle? Right. So the Ramban runs through all the klolim. The first daf in Bava Basra, Ramban runs through the klolim. Basically, what he says, in effect, is that since the grapes growing and the grain growing on the other side of the fence that fell down is a natural growth, it keeps on growing naturally from the ground. So you can't say kama bottle. You can't say, see, if I pour chazer schmaltz into a pot of soup, I pour a little bit, then I stop, and I have shishim. So I say, it's bottle became mutter. Isn't that bechlias hata? Then I pour a little more chazer schmaltz in, also bottle b'shishim. Then I pour a little more, now you no longer have shishim. Now I have so much chazer schmaltz, I no longer have shishim against the chazer schmaltz. But the first time I had shishim, and the second time I had shishim. So that's a big machlekes. Do you say kama bottle, since a little bit of chazal shmaltz fell in, it became bottle. So it became bottle. So Isa nepachlius heter. So how can all of a sudden wake up now? What are you going to say chazav in here? And you pour it the third time. So now I have so much iser that I no longer have shishim. No, but the first iser was kama bottle. The second time it fell in was vayter kama bottle. And the third time I have shishim again. So a little bit that fell the third time. So that's a big machlokes whether you say chazav in here. What fell in before that b'shaita was in his bottle, now is no longer bottle. Or do you say, no, kama bottle. So when is that a deal? And when is that a discussion? That's if it fell in and it stopped. It fell in and stopped. But over here, it keeps on growing naturally. So he can say kama bottle. So the Ramban talks about the klolim. On the first daf in Baba Kama, there's a gigantic tesis in Baba Kama, the end of Baba Kama, also about when do you say kama bottle? When do you say chayzev
v'nir? I think there's something in the Mikvahs also about... puzzle thing, and then until half, it's also once you get one, it's more. But
that would be also the case. Yeah, nasan so the din is a mikveh is only good if it's water, mikveh mayim. Let's say you have a mikveh of white wine. Wine is not water; it's not good for tefillah and atarah. So the gemara says, what if I have a mikveh of aboim saw of water? So it's good; you can be tovel there. And then someone pours in a gallon of wine on top. And then someone opens up the faucet on the bottom and he lets out a gallon of water. So the mikveh is still good because I had 40 saw of water, a little bit of white wine fell in, it didn't change the color. If he changed the color of the water because he poured in red wine or purple wine, then it's a new psul midirabanan of shinin mara. Shinin mara is possible because it's a mara sign that looks as if you're being tovel in wine. So let's say he pours in white wine, so there is no shinin mara, has a colorless wine. So then he keeps on doing that. He had a mikvah 40 saw. He pours in a gallon, pours in a saw of wine. Then he lets out a saw of water. So basically, we know he only has 39 saw of water and one saw of wine. But the one saw of wine was nizbatel, so it's considered as if it's not meper, as if the whole thing is water. And then he pours in another saw of wine, and he lets out another saw of water. Pours in another saw of wine. So the mission says, Nasan saw binatal saw, he pours in a saw of meperis, and he lets out a saw of water. He pours in another saw of meperis, lets out another saw of water. That's good ad machza. Once he no longer, probably by the time he's getting to machza, when he lets out the water, it's not going to be pure water. When he lets out the water, it's going to be a mixture of water. The first time he does it, he pours in wine over here, and he lets out water over there, it's all going to be water. The wine didn't have a chance to mix all the way over there. But by the time he gets to Ad Machza, so it's probably still going to have more than 50% of water. But still, the Mishnah says if you did it 20 times, then you have to be concerned that maybe you no longer have the basic roif. So that's based on the assumption that you don't say kama but that you say chazvenir. So that's the question. When do you say chazvenir? When not? Right. It's a rich topic in Shulchan Aruch. And the Rishonim, it's a rich topic. So here, this is a shas machlokes. This halacha of mechitzas hakem shenifritzo, and the grapes on the one side grow hosim asayim, and the grain on the other side grows hosim asayim. That everything becomes aser. So according to Rashi, whatever grows after the fence fell down becomes aser, but it's mizbatel. It's mizbatel up until the point of kefel, twice as big, menatera. And with the Rabbanan, it's mizbatel up until the point of hoisim asayim, because you no longer have asayim to be mizbatel. And according to the other group, Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky's Ramban, his Rishonim, then hoisim asayim is a shir deraisa. Learn that from the pasuk Hamleya. And sure, mahalach al Moshe Misinai. So the halach al Moshe Misinai says that this is the shir of Maleya. So Nachum, so the Gemara is bothered with the Kashim when we were discussing which is Muhammad, which is Kal. So they said, take a look at Kloy HaKerem, that was the last narrow line on Kuf Tezvav on the base. The Gemara said, Kloy HaKerem Yochichu. Oh no, it wasn't the last narrow line, is above that. Kloy HaKerem is about 10 lines before that. The line begins with the word HaKerem. Kloy HaKerem Yochichu. Sheinu Anushkar Suvasabana. You see that Kloy HaKerem are not chayiv kores and still becomes asa. So therefore, don't be so surprised that the basa b'chalav should become asa mano. So the Gemara asked the kasha, but maybe why don't you argue the point and say v'lifrach? You can ask a pirch on that. Malakarkem shkein lohoisa lohem shas hakosher. From the moment that the klei hakerem grows, everything is asa. When the fence falls down, so Rashi learned whatever grows after the fence fell down is asr. So when it starts to grow, it's right away asr. Masha'enikin basa b'chalov is not was ha'isalosh asar kosher. So how can the Gemara prove? How do they use klei hakerem as a proof that even though there's no kares, it can still be asamano? But you can still argue klei hakerem was lo ha'isalosh asar kosher from the moment that it grew, it was right away asamano.
How did Ramban learn that? It's
worth it
till 200, so how did you learn that?
That's a good tekasha. I don't know. This Gemara, this simple pshat in this Gemara is like Rashi Taka. I don't know. You have to look in the Ramban. I didn't look recently. Let's see. Fregmar v'lifrach, why didn't the Gemara ask? Malach ha'ashkein l'hoysa lehem shasa kosher. Right away, it's aser. And for the Gemara, amra vade barava zoysa meres. From this brisa, you can infer klei hakerem ikoron ne'esar. What does the Gemara say? What I plant, klei hakerem. Let's say I have a kernel of grain and I have a seed of grapes. And I throw them in. When do you violate? There's an issa not to plant klei hakerem. When is it? When is one in violation of that law for planting klayim? The Gemara says only if you plant b'mapoilos yad. I have both in the same hand. I have the kernel of grain and I have the grape seed and I throw them both in the ground at the same time. So the grape seed was mutabano and the kernel of grain was mutabano. When I plant them in the ground and they take root, so not only what grows afterwards is asa, even the original kernel of grain and the original seed of the grape seed also becomes asa. That's called ikara ne'asar. What was there from before, it has to take root. If I just put in a cup, I'll put in a cup a grape seed and a seed of grain. So it doesn't become asa. And if you have a little sand in the cup, also not going to become asa. But if hishrish, if it takes root in the ground, so samaris kloy hakerem ikor nesar, the seed itself is going to become asa. And that was ha'isalon shas ha'kosh yekaydim hashrosh, before it took root. Freg di gemara, how can you say that whatever, once it takes roots, even what was there from before becomes asa, freg digmar. But the pasuk doesn't seem to say like that. The mission doesn't seem to say like that. Masa rab shemaya bar zeira, amavirat zitznoka bekerim, hoysa masayim asa, hoysa fenla, hoysa floy. It's only asa if it grows masayim. So Rashi, according to Rashi, the kasha is the way you are saying. According to Rashi, the kasha is, you see that whatever, only what grows after the fence fell down is asa bana. Whatever was there before remains mutter. Only what grows afterwards is asa. And the shear of hoysa masayim is because of the chumer midirabbanon that klei hakerem needs masayim to be mevatalit. So you see that the whatever was there beheta before the fence fell down remains heta. The heta remains heta. Only what grows mikana lahaba is going to be asa. What are you telling me? That once you plant it in the ground, even the seed that was heta before also becomes asa, and it's hoysa lo shasa kosher. And still it's asa bano. So here, don't you see from this mission that it's not so? And for the Gemara, Amar Abai, Trei Kroi Ksiv, there are two psukim. Ksiv, Pendugish HaMaleya. HaMaleya sounds like it has to grow to a certain size. Whatever, only what grows Be'isr is going to be also. Whatever was there from before the Heter remains Mutter. Ksiv HaZera, and it says also HaZera, when it takes root, even if it doesn't keep from growing, just when it takes root, it's also. Okay, it said, how do you farem for the steer within the pasuk b'nei bay? Pentugda shamleya zeresh atizra tuas akorim. You have two phrases, you have two words in the same phrase in the pasuk. Pentugda shamleya hazeresh atizra. Hamleya sounds like it has to develop a little bit, and hazera sounds like it just takes root. And for the gemara, okay, so talking about two different kinds of klei hakerem. If you throw it in b'yisr, he holds in his hand, but ma'polis yad. In the same hand, he holds the kernel of grain with the grape seeds, and he throws them in the ground. So he violated the Isser Zaria, Zarea Klaim. So if it's Zarua Meikara, if he planted it be Isser, the whole Zaria was be Isser, is Bahashrosha. Once it takes root, everything becomes us, even what was there Beheta from before. But Zarua Bo, if I had a fence, and I plant the grapes over here Beheta, and I plant the grain over here Beheta, and then Pchitza Kemshe Nifritza, the fence falls down. So there was no violation of Zarea Kalim. He didn't violate the pasuk Lesizer Karmacha Lesizer Kalim. So then Allah says only Hamaleya, only if it's Hoysim Asayim. So only if it's Masai. The question is, how does the Ramban read this Gemara, you say? How does the Ramban read it? According to the Ramban, you don't say whatever grows right away is asa. It's not asa till it grows a significant size, but still, when it grows that size, only that's asa. It'll be a taruvis, and the rest of it's asa, but only that's asa. The rest of it will not be asa.
Unless you say until it grows 1/200th of its final size or whatever it is, it's not edible. There's nothing really there to eat.
I don't think so, no. Let's say it's almost all full, almost fully ripened grapes, and then the fence falls down. Fence falls down, so whatever continues to grow, now it's edible. It can be edible.
But what our concern is when you put the grape seed and the wheat seed in the ground.
Right.
Or adjacent to each other. If they grow 1/200th of their final volume that they're going to be, you're not going to have anything initially for to eat. It's not edible. So it wouldn't be
usher
until it grows at least 1/200.
The Gemara explains that shir hosif masayim is only if each one was planted beheter. But if you throw them in the ground bevasachas, so the hashrasha was beiser, so then it becomes awesome from the moment of hashrasha. Nothing even has to develop. Doesn't have to grow anything. It was heter, was hosol shasa kosher, and when it takes root in the ground, everything becomes awesome. But if it was planted the heter on two sides of the fence, then the fence falls down, so then you need the shear of hosif. Then you need the shear of malaya. It has to grow a certain amount. So Rashi learns the Gemara, whatever grows right away is asabano, except that it right away becomes bottle. And midirabana, once you reach the point of hosif masayim, it does not become bottle. And the other Rishonim, the Ramban, says no. Everything is muta up until the point of hosif masayim. Then what grew becomes us. He also agrees, only what grew afterwards becomes us. But whereas Rashi learns every mashu that grows after the fence falls down becomes us, Ramban says, no, nothing becomes us until it's hosif masayim, significant percentage of the whole thing. And then only that amount that grew. Whatever was there from before remains muta. So that's lo hosif lo shasa kreishim. Fine? Okay. So now the Gemara ends off with a footnote. The din is when you mekadosh an isha bekesef, so you have to give a shavah pruta. We our meaning is that we use shavah kesef. We give a ring. The Ramah quotes from the Zohar that you should give a ring. So it has to be shavah pruta. It has to be a minimum of shavah pruta. Some exotic rabbi called me up that he has exotic balabatim. So a boy is an artist and he wants to be mekadosh his kala and he wants to be mekadosh with a painting. And his painting is worth a lot of money. The painting that he made. So under the chuppah he wants to have mekadosh his li instead of a tabazu, wants to give with a painting. Okay, no. So the din is as long as the shavah pruta is good. What happens if you give a kiddush isha, you give a shtik basa b'chalav, that's also b'hanoah. So if you give something osa bachila mutabano, so you can feed it to the animals, you can sell it to a guy, it's mutabano. So that'll be a shavah pruta. But if you go in the mekadosh anisha with the basa b'chalav deraisa, that's osa bano, so it's not called shavah pruta. So it's ainim b'kudeshes. So the Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kedusha, I'm just explaining why this discussion appears in Kedusha. Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kedusha gives you a full list of all of these suri hano. And the Mishnah says, if the man is mekadosh the isha b'shove kesef, and it's not shove pruta because it's one of the isuri hanoshes zayin mekudeshes. So the Gemara there quotes the machlekes satanaim. What about basa b'cholav? So we are learning the last couple of weeks basa b'cholav deraisas, also b'bishol, also b'hano, also b'achila. Only basa b'cholav the rabbanon. If you cook chicken with milk, it's only the rabbanon. So then it's muta b'hano, muta b'bishol. But basa b'chalav deraisa is also b'anoa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a Tana who disagrees. Masisn deloi ki hai Tana de Tanya. Our Mishnah that says beferish that basa b'chalav deraisa is also b'anoa is in contradiction to Reb Shimon's opinion, which is quoted there in Kiddushin, the end of the second parak. The Gemara quotes that machlok. It's a Tanya Reb Shimon Yehuda Imim Shim Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Baichoy. Stam Shimon is Reb Shimon Baichoy, the author of the Zohar. So the Tana Reb Shimon ben Yehuda quotes in the name of Reb Shimon bar Yochai, basa b'chalav, basa b'achila, muta b'ano. How do you know both The pasuk only says lo sevashel. How do you know it's also bachila? How do you know it's butamanua? She nemar have gzerusha v'kiam kadosh atir shamalakach lo sevashel gdei b'chalevi moi. So the word kadosh appears in connection with basim b'chalav. V'nemar lahalo on the parshas mishpatim and says v'anshe kadosh tinli u'basim also had a treifa lo sechelu. He's not allowed to eat treifa. And treifa stayed b'feirish. What he's supposed to do with it? Lakelav tashlichan also. You feed it to the dog. So you see it's mutabano. So you learn Xerishav Kodesh Kodesh. By Bas Bukhalov it says Am Kodesh Ato. And near it says by Trefa, Anshi Kodesh Tiyun Li. Mal Halon, just like by Trefa, Osamachila Mutabano. Afkan by Bas Bukhalov is Mal, Osamachila Mutabano. So he kills two birds with one stone. He learns that from the Xerishav Kodesh Kodesh, both halves. That Bas Bukhalov is Osamachila, and also that it's Mutabano. So we don't accept his opinion. We don't follow Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds Bas Bukhalov Mutabano. We pass Kananza. Chomets b'Pesach also we mentioned. Rabbi Yosef Glili disagreed with all the Tanaim. He says, "Tamei al atzmecho, you should wonder at yourself. How can you say such a silly idea? The chomets b'Pesach and zasmano can't be." Rabbi Yosef Glili disagrees. It can't be. He says, "Chomets b'Pesach is mutabano." That's Tama Pella. The Ramban writes a svar in the Machamas in one place. The Ramban writes in the end of Yivamas. If Chomez b'Pesach is mutabano, so why did the Torah say you have to burn it? Sacha bal tashchis. If it's also b'achila and also b'hano, so you can't get any hano from it. So you understand the Torah says you have to destroy it. But according to the Tana according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Chomez b'Pesach is also b'achila and mutabano. So why did the Torah say that you have to destroy it? It's a shtikel bal tashchis. That's his Taina. Yeah, but, so it won't belong to me. Let's say I pass by a Goyisha bakery and I always get Hanoah from smelling the freshly baked bread. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to. If you're walking to Shul and you happen to pass by the bakery, that's the shortest distance. So that's called E'ef Shavaloi Kamachab. And he's not interested in getting Hanoah. So even though Derech Agav, he gets Hanoah, that's mutter. That's not a violation. He didn't go out of his way to get the hano. But if he walks specially right in front of the Goyish bakery, he says, it's not in violation of Rabbi Matze, the chametz belongs to the goy, but he went out of his way in order to smell it, in order to get hano. So then it says to Shulchan Aruch that it is also hano. According to this Tana, Rabbi Yosef Glili, chametz b'Pesach is mutter b'hano. He disagrees.
Is it derisa to smell?
Huh?
Smell also belongs to the derisa?
Yeah. Yeah, the Pashto says it's also derisa. Yeah. The Pashto says like that. In Shulchan Aruch, they have a machlokes. Maybe smelling is only a violation of Yisir Hanoah by besomim, which is oimed l'recha, by flowers, which are oimed l'recha. But if something is oimed l'achila, and then you smell it, so maybe then I should say recha la milsen. Maybe that's not called getting Hanoah. That's based on, Mechaba quotes that. That's based on a Gemara in Sukkah. That when you have an esrig is hooked to the mitzvah, so it's hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to eat it, but you are allowed to smell it. But if you have hadasim, since hadasim are oimed lohariach, so when it's hooked to the mitzvah, so it's also to smell it. But an esrig is oimed lachila, normal esrig. Today, our esrigim tastes like lemon, so it's not oimed lachila. But in the days of the Tanaim, the esrigim were tasty. It tasted like an orange. So since it's Amel Achila, so the hook to the mitzvah is only vis-a-vis Achila, not with respect to Hanoah. So based on that Gemara, a group of Rishonim said, "Hu adinami, if you have a chometz, if you have a bakery where they bake bread and you're going to smell it, so that's not a violation of Isuri Hanoah. Then you say, Rechela Milsi, that's not a violation. Only if the thing is Oimed Lohariach, then you say the smelling is it. So there's a long shach where he disagrees. He says, what's a tzushtel? Shach says, when you're talking about huktzah mitzvah, so huktzah mitzvah means I designated as a mitzvah, I shook a lulav with this, using this esrog and these hadasim, so I plan to set it aside, not to use it for personal purposes, I makzit midaiti, so it's an umdana that the person is only makzit from its ikar hishtamshus. So the ikar hishtamshus of the esrog is to eat, so huktzah mitzvah vis-a-vis eating. Hashenik came to hadasim, the ikar hishtamshus is to smell. So he's makzah midaita not to smell from him. But if you're talking about the yayin shel avodah zara, that's asa b'hanoah min ha-Torah. It has nothing to do with my haktzah midas. So what does it make a difference whether the ikar hishtamshus of yayin is to drink or to smell, even if it's yain, but you enjoy, you get pleasure from smelling. So that should be a violation deraisa of hanor. That's machlegs the shach and the shulchan aruch. Machlegs harishanim. Machlegs harishanim. Yeah. So basa b'chalav, not all the tanoim agree. Okay. Reb Shimon bar Yochai, Reb Shimon is the one who says that basa b'chalav is mutar b'hanor. He disagrees with the whole sugya. Okay. Then the Gemara is commenting on the next section in the Mishnah. The Mishnah was where? Ooh, a few dafim ago. Mishnah was on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Akiva is quoted in the Mishnah as saying that when you cook chicken with milk, it's only bas b'chol d'rabban. You cook venison, you cook deer's meat with milk, is only bas b'chol d'rabban. And if you cook behemoth tmeya, you cook chaza with milk, it's an isa chaza, and it's not an isa bas b'chol. How does he know all of these? Because it says three times, lo sevasha gedi b'chalei v'moisa gedi, three times, one is prat l'chai, one is prat l'oiv, and one is prat l'behemoth tmeya, because gedi is a behemoth Torah. Freg di gemara, how does he know to learn from the three times gedi to exclude chai v'yoiv and behemoth tmeya? Honey, these three times gedi, we needed it a couple of weeks ago. We were learning Shmuel was on the previous daf. Where was it? Shmuel was on Kuf Yud Gimel on the base. So Shmuel said you need the three times Gedi to be marbe, even a shlil and even the vela, and even if it's the if I cook chaylev of a behemah. Let's say I cook not los sevashel Gedi b'chalev imar. The ikar pasuk goes you cook flesh with milk. What if you cook chaylev b'cholam? Mashal chaylev b'cholam. Chaylev is treif already. So maybe there's no isa bishul basa b'cholam on that. So Shmuel says, I need the three psukim. One tells me if it's nevela flesh, I cooked it with milk, there's an isa basa b'cholam. One is if I cooked chaylev with milk, and the third pasuk tells me if it's a shlil, if it's an uber that wasn't born yet, and I cook it with milk, it'll still be, and I shech the mother, it'll still be an isa basa b'cholam on that. So Freg di Gemara, how can Rabbi Akiva use the three times gedi to be memayit chaya v'yoif in behemoth tmeya that chazer flesh? There's no prohibition to cook chazer flesh with milk. Freg di Gemara, but I need the three times gedi for Shmuel's dinim. And Freg di Gemara, kasava Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion you don't need psukim to teach you that nevela meat and that chaylev is included in basa b'cholam. If it's nevela flesh, it's a davar pasha that if you cook in the milk, it'll be basa b'chol, because he holds yesh yisachal alisa. It is asa, and chaylev is also yisachal alisa. So there's no need for a pasuk. I shlil. Don't you need a pasuk gedi to be marbe even if the uba wasn't born yet, and you cooked in a flesh, it'll be an isa basa b'chol. So he holds shlil gedi mal yehu. I don't need a pasuk to be marbe. Mechate said that it's not flesh, even though it wasn't born yet, but it's inside b'mei imo, that's also flesh. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva holds iatru lehu kulu. So he has three times gedi is miyuter, it's all extra. So that's prat number one, prat lechai, number two, prat leyav, and number three, prat lebehemet tameh. Shai. So that's machlegs of Rabbi Kiva and Shmuel, the Amora. Shmuel is picked up from a different Tana.
The question is backwards, really. He's not like Shmuel. Shmuel is not like Rabbi Kiva.
Right. Okay, Shmuel was an Amora, so they should have said it differently. Okay, right. Yeah. The Gemara talks like Yeshiva Bochum talk. Yeah. Then the Gemara comments, Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah said the same thing. They both said the same thing, but based on a different pasuk. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says that there's no basa b'chalav deraisa by chicken, because b'chalei v'imai, chickens don't have milk. So you can't talk about chalei mai. Rabbi Kiva says not basa b'chalav deraisa by chicken because gedi, because the word gedi appears three times. So the Gemara wants to know what is the difference halacha l'maaseh between Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Kiva. They both said, bottom line, both said the same thing, that chicken and milk is not basa b'chalav deraisa. One learned it out from the word gedi prat le'of, and one learns it out because b'chalei v'imo, to the exclusion of chicken that doesn't give forth any milk. Usually there's a difference. Whenever you have a machloikas, what pasuk is the din learned that from? But they say, bottom line, they say the exact same thing, so that's called mashmoz darshamika minai. No difference, just nafkamina. We learn that for pasuk A and pasuk B. But that's very unusual. Usually you don't say mashmoz darshamika minai. Usually, if you learn it out from one pasuk or another, there's going to be a difference la halacha. The Gemara asks, Ma'ika ben Rabbi Yisagli le Rabbi Akiva, what is the difference? La halacha, is there a difference? The Gemara, yeah. Rabbi Yisagli le Sava Chay deraiser. Rabbi Yisagli only excludes chicken because there is no chalei b'imam, because chicken don't give off milk. But Chay does have milk, so according to him, if you cook deer's meat with milk, it'll be basav chav deraiser. And Rabbi Akiva Sava Chay derabbanim, because the word gedi appears three times, and one is prat loif, one is prat lechay, one is part of the behemoth tamei. So that's one nafkamina. That we mentioned, that's a steer in the Rambam. In one place, the Rambam writes, in Hilchas Basa B'cholov, in Hilchas B'cholov Salsuris, when he quotes all the dinam of Basa B'cholov, so he writes, Chai V'yof are both only midirabbanon, they're not menatur. Then in Hilchas Mamrim, when the Rambam writes, you're not allowed to paskin against the Bez Nagodol, whoever paskin against the Bez Nagodol has a dinam Zaka Mamre, and so then he says, then the Rambam says, how can the Bez Nagodol, how does Bez Nagodol have a right to make a din de Rabbanon? Aren't they in violation of Bal Tosif? So the Rambam says, no, if the Bez Nagodol would misrepresent the din and say that the chicken and milk is their isa, so that would be Bal Tosif. But they say that it's Minatar Mutar, it's awesome of the Rabbanon, so there's no violation of Bal Tosif. That's what the Rambam writes. So there, when the Rambam is giving an example of Bal Tosif, Bal Tigra, so he throws in there, Bisar Chaya is their Ais and Bisar Reif is their Rabbanon. This contradicts what he wrote in Hilchas Basa B'Cholov, where he wrote that they're both only Midir Rabbanon. He wrote like Rabbi Akiva, Chaya V'Yof are both Midir Rabbanon. So the Noisei Kelim don't have once in a while, it took the Rambam so long to write the Mishnah Torah, it took him quite a few years. So every so often he changed his mind from one section to the other. It was a major project. He didn't have a computer, so he couldn't check what he wrote in the other place. Tfagesen. He changed his mind on that. Yeah. So first, the Gemara says, one nafkamina is, whether chay is the raisa de rabbanon. He boy same, or if he want, he can say, there's another nafkamina la halacha between the two of them. Of he could be nayu. The shayla is, Rabbi Yisag Lili says, there's no isa de raisa on cooking chicken and milk. Is there an isa de rabbanon? So Rabbi Yisag Lili seems to hold not at all. It doesn't even make sense to make an Issa Derabbanan. Chicken is so different from Bisar Behema that it doesn't even make sense to make a Chumra Derabbanan. How can you say if you'll allow chicken with milk, next thing you know, they'll allow flesh with milk? Flesh and chicken are two different things. You can't confuse the two. Yeah, by us, we're so used to it that chicken and milk is Bas B'cholam, so by us, we treat it like Bas B'cholam. But Rabbi Yisag Lili says it doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, Ofi Giminayu. Nafkamina for chicken and milk. Rabbi Akiva Savachai V'Ofeni Menatorah, Amid Rabbanon Asiri. You can tell from the Diuk HaLoshen of Rabbi Akiva. He says, they're not Osir Menatorah, implying they are Osir, but the Issa is only Amid Rabbanon, it's not Menatorah. Rabbi Yisag Lili Savah, Of Hafilim Amid Rabbanon, Nami Loy Osir. Rabbi Akiva Yisag Lili holds, it doesn't even make sense to say Amid Rabbanon, that the chicken and the milk should be us. And Tanya Nami Hachi, there's a brisa that says beferish the second way, like we just said. Rabbi Yosef Lili disagrees. Bottom line, Allah Alamaisanov. Tanya Nami Hachi, this is an important gemara. This is the first daf in Perek of Lezer de Mila. And Shabbos there, 24 prakim. So one Perek has all the dinam of Bris Mila on Shabbos. I think we learned it many years ago. So in the first daf in Rabbi Lezer de Mila, Kuflam and Omid Aleph, the gemara quotes, the machlek is Ablezer and Achachamim. So Ablezer was the Mar Dasra in his city, and they always observed his shittas, even though he was Ablezer Shamutuhu. He was from the Beishamai, and Beishamai had different opinions from the Rabbim. The Beisila were Merubim in Beishamai. They were the majority. So for a person who's neither a Talmud of Beishamai, not a Talmud of Beisila, Balabas, he doesn't have a Shaychas with either. They have to follow the majority opinions, they have to follow Beisila. But for one who is from the Talmidim of Beishamai, or he lives in a city where the Mordas, where the rabbi is from the Beishamai, Rablezer Shamutihu, Rablezer Ben Hurkin, so Rablezer HaGadol was a Talmud of the Beishamai. So in his city, they followed his psak. He was Mordas. And you have to follow his psak, even though he's in the minority. That's the halacha. The Igate Din is that everyone should follow Rabbi Muvuk, whoever his Rebbe is. A lot of times you don't have one Rebbe Muvuk. So let's say the Ashkenazim have 500 Rabbein Mufakim, and the Sfardim have 500 Rabbein Mufakim. So we look up to Rashi, and the Rabbein Atam, and the Rambam, and the Ramban, and the many, and the Chayodim, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Big Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramon, and the Shach, and the Taz. We have a lot, but we have 500 Rabbein Mufakim, so the majority of them are Ashkenazim. That's why we follow Ashkenazi Pesach. The Sfardim also look up to 500 Rabbein Mufakim, Rashi and the Rabbein and Tam and the Rama Ramban, but they, it's not on purpose, they put into their 500 Rabbanim Mufakim that they look up to, the Ruba, the Ruba of them, Asfardish Gedolim, whom we never heard of, and the Ruba of us, Ashkenazi Gedolim, that they never heard of. So each one, the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim, each one follows the Raiv. They don't take into consideration the rov of all the poskim in the world. No, you only have to take into consideration the rov of the rabbis of hamufokim of you. So by the Ashkenazim, it's a group of 500 gedolim, and by the Sfardim, it's a different group. There's overlap. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and the Rama Ramban, that's overlap with the Shulchan Aruch, with the kids of Shulchan Aruch, with the Chayyarim, is overlap. But then the rest of them, the other 350, so by the Sfardim they put in Sfardish names, by the Ashkenazim they put in Ashkenazi names. So this Braisa emphasizes this halacha, that in every community you have to follow the Morad HaAsra, because the Morad HaAsra has the status of Rabbi Muvak, and that's the Ikra halacha. You have to follow, each one should follow Rabbi Muvak. So they say, Rabbi Lezer, if a baby boy is born on Shabbos, so the Mila Bizmana next Shabbos is Decha Shabbos. Performing a bris on Shabbos and Yontav is a malacha. So we're only permitted to perform a bris Mila if it's clearly a Mila Bizmana. Mila Shalai Bizmana, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So the question is, when you have a Mila Bizmana, what are you allowed to do? What exactly are you allowed to do on Shabbos? Are you allowed to carry, let's say there's no Erev in the city, are you permitted, is the Moel allowed to drive to the bris on Shabbos? The Moel lives on the other end of the city. Is he allowed to drive to the bris on Shabbos? Of course not. He has to be nearby. Is he allowed to carry the knife in the street? Is he allowed to carry the baby? No, you're not allowed to carry. You're only allowed to do the actual bris mila itself. Driving to the bris and carrying the knife and carrying the baby, that's called machshirei mila. That's something that leads up to the actual bris mila, but it's not the actual mila itself. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. So we pass on like Rabbi Akiva, only mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos. Machshire Mila, the Achanas and the Vans are not Decha Shabbos. You're not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer disagrees and he says, the Mekomel Sher Rabbi Lezer in his city, even years after he passed away, they followed all of his psokim. The Mekomel Sher Rabbi Lezer in his city, Hayukarsim Eitzim, Rashi learns, if it turned out that there's a Bris Mila schedule for Shabbos and you happen not to have a knife, it's a funny case. What do you mean you have a bris mila and you happen not to have an eye? How do you not have that? What did you do yesterday? There was a bris. The day before there was a bris. There's always a bris. They haven't had a bris in 10 years. What do you mean? There's no knife to do a bris mila. It's very funny. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim disagree and they say no. Even though there are 100 knives in the city that you can use for a bris mila, since a bris mila on Shabbos is a heta gomer hutra, that's a question. When you're permitted to perform a bris mila on Shabbos, is that hutra heta gomer? When the Torah gave the prohibition against being Mechal Shabbos, it never included Bris Mila. Whenever it's Mila Bizmana, it was never included in the Issa, so you don't have to try to avoid it. Or do you say no? Maybe it's Dechuya. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, that's Machlokes and Mechaba and Ramo. Mechaba holds that the Bris Mila is Decha Shabbos, is Dechuya. You're allowed to be Decha, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if need be, for the purpose of doing the Bris Mila. So the actual Bris Mila itself is always going to have Chil Shabbos, because the kid is going to bleed. That's the malocha. What about the hachonis? Let's say you have a knife. Are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos to make another knife? I want to use a new knife. He the mitzvah, I want to use a new knife. So the simple pshat is, to demonstrate how chaviv the mitzvah of mila is, every time they had a bris on Shabbos, he used to break off branches from a tree. They didn't have logs, ready logs. But you course made them to break off branches and make a fire in order to melt metal, in order to manufacture a knife, in order to use that knife to perform the bris mila. Hayukarsim eitzim, the break off branches from a tree, lasas pechamin, in order to melt the metal, lasas barzel bishabbos, in order to make a metal knife on Shabbos. So we hold you not allowed to, because that's machshirei mila. So the shaila is, when he holds that it is mutter, is that only if you don't have a knife? Matush kembreira? That's what he means. That's what Rashi says. If you have no knife, so you have no choice, so you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos if need be. Rashi seems to be learning that the Machshirei Mila, even if you hold the Mila, the Shabbos is Hutra, but the Machshirei Mila is only Dechuya. And other Rishonim say no, the Mila is Hutra, and the Machshirei Mila is also Hutra. Everything is Hutra. In Shulchan Aruch, it's a Machlokes, the Mechaber Nerama. Mechaber says that there used to be a minig, to be mechabed two moilim with the bris mila. One moil would do the mila, one moil would do the priya. there are two oros that cover the eva ha'orla. So the outer or is a thick or. That's the or ha'orla. And from the days of Avram Avinu till the days of Yishuv ben Nun, all they did was cut off the or ha'orla. They never used to do anything with the or ha'priya. And then after they crossed over the Yarden, after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, they crossed over the Yarden. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed Yishuv ben Nun, they should go to the city Gilgal. V'shuv moliz bnei Yisrael shenis. You should be mal everybody again. Atzveit them all. Shenis, how can be mal atzveit them all? Whoever had a bris milah, there's nothing left to cut. So the pasha pshat and the pasuk simple pshat means there was a big bris milah Mitzrayim right before Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then in the midbar, Ruba the Ruba of Klal Yisrael didn't perform bris milah. They were afraid that the weather conditions were such that it's a sakana. The Gemara says only Shevet Levi. Brischa Yintzoru, Moshe Rabbeinu says in Mezayis HaBrach, Brischa Yintzoru, they observed Bris Mila, even the 40 years of the traveling in the Midbar, and the other Shvatim didn't. And then the Rabban Shalom tells Yeshua Ben Nun, Shumal Yizmar Yisrael Shainis, make a big national Bris Mila for all the babies who were born after Yitzias Mitzrayim, who never had a Bris Mila. So a second big national Bris Mila. But the Gemara doesn't understand it like that. The Gemara says, Shumal Yizmar Yisrael Shainis, repeat the Bris Mila on all the people who had a Bris Mila 40 years ago. They only did the first half. They only did Mila. From now on, I instruct you have to do Mila Upriya. So what they did was only half the story. And now the din requires you have to do Priya as well. So in the years ago, there used to be such a practice. I remember by my first, we have three boys. So my first boy, we live in Washington Heights. So the moil there is always Katzenstein, the Yitzchak Katzenstein. So he was training a younger fellow to be a moil. So the younger fellow asked us, he's a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he used to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he lives in Philadelphia now. So he asked permission whether he can do part of the Milo. The Rabbi Katzenstein gave him permission, is it okay? So we said, okay. So Katzenstein did the Milo, and the younger fellow did the Priya, and Katzenstein was washing. So there used to be Mechaber two different moilim, one moil to cut off the Or Ha'orla, the other moil to cut off the Or Ha'priya, the thinner membrane that's below the Or Ha'orla. So in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes, are you permitted to do that on Shabbos? On the weekdays is not a problem. On Shabbos, why? So Mechaber holds, the first moil that's going to cut off the Or Ha'orla is Mechalal Shabbos, and he didn't do the mitzvah yet. If he doesn't do the Priya, even if someone else does the Priya, and the mitzvah will be completed, but if I didn't do the whole thing, I had no hetter to be Mechalal Shabbos, because Mila B'Shabbos is Doicha Shabbos, the Tzorach Kiyam HaMitzvah Mila, is Doicha Shabbos. If I only did the Mila, I didn't do the Priya, so whoever does the Priya, he clinches the mitzvah. He did the mitzvah. The first one who did the Mila didn't do the mitzvah, he has no hetter. And the Ramah says no. Ramah proves because in the Beis HaMikdash, every day they divided the Hakrovas HaKorban Tamid among many Kohan, one Kohen would do Shchita, one did Kabbalah, Hailocha, Zrika, Haktar, Seymur, Mehevshid, Nituach. They divided amongst many people. So what's the heter for the first Kohen to Shecht the Korban Tomid and to Shecht the Musafim on Shabbos? He didn't do the whole mitzvah. It's Arois Gevarfin, unless you're going to have some, another Kohen's going to do Kabbalah Saddam, Hailocha Saddam, Zrika Saddam, all the Dalar Avayda Saddam, Ameakim, Shchita, Kabbalah, Hailocha, Zrika. Of the Dalar Avodas Adam. So what's the heter for the first Kohen to do the Shechita if he doesn't do the whole thing? So you see that it's not that the Tzarech Kiyam HaMitzvah is Doicha Dechilul Shabbos, the first one that does the Shechita didn't do the whole mitzvah. You see that Hutra means the Heft of Hakravas Tamidim Umasafim is never included in the Yisra of Shabbos. So even if you're not going to finish the whole thing, if you're just going to do Mila and not do Priya, no one's going to do the Priya. Comes out you didn't even do it. That Mila was not part of the mitzvah. But if I'll do Mila, he'll do Priya, I'll see to it. If he doesn't do the Priya, I'll do the Priya. But if he does the Priya, fine. So it comes out my Mila was part of the mitzvah. So that's Hutra. So the Ramohos are just like in the Beis HaMikdosh, it says Beferish needs to divide the Hakrovas HaTaminim and Mustafim amongst many Kohanim, and it wasn't a problem. Why? Because the Gemara says Beferish and Yuma that Karbanis Tziba, that a Doicha Shabbos is Hutra, it's not the Chuy, it's Hutra, Het HaGomer, so you don't need that you should be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the same is true regarding Mila B'Shabbos. The Ramah holds that Mila is also Hutra B'Shabbos. Shabbos is Het HaGomer L'Gabi Mila. You don't need, in order to allow the Chilul Shabbos, you don't need I should do the whole mitzvah from the beginning to the end. And Mechaber holds, no. Hakrovas Karbanos on Shabbos, that's Hutra, Shabbos Hutra. And Mila B'Shabbos is Dechuya. There is a Zohar that they quote in Shulchan Aruch, that Mila is compared to Hakrovas HaKarbonis, because on Hakrovas HaKarbonis there's Dam, and in Mila there's Dam. So they consider the Sandik is like one has Makdik Teres. They make comparisons, just like you have to wait till the Yom HaShmini to bring a Korban in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait till the Yom HaShmini to perform the Bris Mila. And then it says the Avi HaBen should stand nearby when the Moel does the Mila, all week long, whenever the Moel does the Mila. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the official explanation is given, the Avi HaBen should stand by and appoint the Moel as the Shliach, so the Avi HaBen will be out to the Mitzvah, the Shluch HaShladim Kamais. And the Vilna Gaon said, that's not the reason why. Why does he have to stand by? He called him up on the phone the day the baby was born. He called him up last week. He told him, I want you to do the Bris. So what does he have to stand again to tell him he's the Shliach? So the Vilna Gaon said, that's not the reason why. The reason why, because the Mishnah says, in Tainis, Ech Karbonu Shalod Nekar Ve'en Oimer Al Gabov. Whenever you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, so the one on whose behalf the carbon is being offered should really be there. The Mishnah in Gittin talks about a man who shaleach carbon le Beis HaMikdash. He lives far away, he lives in America, and he sends a check to Eretz Yisrael, and he asks someone, please bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash on my behalf. Bring a chatas, bring a noila, whatever. So there is an institution of shaleach carbon idea acherim, but more correct is ech carbon shaladim karveinu emir agabov. So since Bris Mila and the Zohar is compared to Hakrovas HaKarbonis, so the Bala Karbon is considered the father of the baby, so the father should stand nearby when they're offering the Karbon, when they're performing the Bris Mila on the baby. Yeah. So that's what there are moholes like that. Since the Gemara says in Yuma that Hakrovas Tmidim U'Masofim Ahet the Gomer on Shabbos is Hutra, it's not the Chuya, so the same is true regarding Mila B'Shabbos. Mila is Muta B'Shabbos, like Carbon Tzibush, is Manakavu, is Muta Bishab. Same thing. So just like the Karbonis says, have to go Mahutra, so this is also Hutra. One of the Achrayim has a hold, there was one of the Gedolim in Galicia, after the First World War, wrote the Tshuva Sefer Chavatzelos HaShoren. He is a great nephew of the Minchas Chinuch. His name is also Babad. He was the Rav in Tarnopol. Tarnopol was the big city in Galicia. So he has in his Tshuva a whole tilpol. How come they didn't recommend that when they do the Shechitas HaKarbonis on Shabbos, you should shech with your left hand? On Shabbos, there's a malach of ksiva. So if you write with your right hand, that's a malach of the rice. If you write with your left hand, it's going to be a sloppy mess. So that's kalach hayad. So if you write with the left hand, it's only an isa derabbanan. So he assumes if you carry a package, sometimes you carry a package in the right hand, sometimes you carry in the left hand. So carrying the package in the left hand doesn't make it kalach hayad. But if it's a malach that needs umnes, let's say to bang with a hammer. I'm going to bang a nail with a hammer. So if I bang with my right hand, it's a malacha derais. I bang with the left hand is the weak hand, so that'll only be a malacha derabban. So the eskakasha, shechting, you need koyach to shecht. So if you shecht, if you're a righty, you shecht with the right hand, it'll be a malacha derais of the tilis neshama. Shechit is a malacha. If you shecht with the left hand, it'll only be a malacha derabban because it's kalacha yat. So how come they didn't recommend that they should shech the karbonis on Shabbos with the left hand, so there won't be a violation of a malacha derais?
But so if he does it, what happens is if he does it,
you'll miss the nail.
If he makes a mistake,
probably going to make a sloppy mess. He'll probably make it in the vela. He's going to shech with the left hand.
They'll have to shech
the second one. Make it also in the vela. I have to take him five times. So they push it to terutzim. But the best, these are hechetim to terutzim. But the best teretz will be the Gemara says beferish that Hakrovas Karbonis on Shabbos is Hutra. Hutra means you don't have to try to avoid it. Duchuya means that if you can avoid it, after Lekayim Shem, you should avoid it. But Hutra is Het Gomer. Yeah. But he has a whole pilpul. He doesn't say this teretz, he's going to do a sloppy mess, not going to shecht well. And he doesn't say Hutra. So he works on other terutzim on this kash. He's worried a lot about that kash. How come Nova Rebek? Okay. That's a Rav Soloveitchik. I remember Rav Soloveitchik loved the Minchas Chinuch. He loved it. So then once in a while he would learn the Minchas Chinuch. Then Minchas Chinuch had a story, didn't like, said, Fort Givena Galatiana. He said, no one would have ever looked in the yeshivas, no one would have ever looked at the Minchas Chinuch because of Givena Galatiana. But because Rav Chaim liked it, Rav Chaim gave the stamp of approval. So that's why in the Litvish yeshivas they accepted it.
I heard from some people that person needs to be rushed to the hospital for whatever reason, that you should try to, and let's say there's no goy to drive, it has to be a Jew, that they should drive in such way that they minimize the number of times they press on the gas, and stuff like that. And then I heard from other people that that's not true. So
It's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Correct, a machlekes. You heard from both opinions. Okay. The Gemara says, I'm going to get to a yoledes. If a woman, because most women who give birth, it's, in the days of the Tanaim, it was more common that a woman would die childbirth, but it's still not so common. It wasn't so common. It wasn't a real suffix. It was a far-fetched suffix. Because there were women. Today, it's not so common at all that a woman should die in childbirth. Days of the Tanaim is more common when it wasn't common. So there the Mishnah says, Beferish, you should try to minimize. If she needs something, if you have to carry something, the Mishnah has, the Yoledes needs oil. When she's delivering, I don't know what they need oil for. They need oil. Shine. So instead of carrying a bottle of oil in the street, so the Mishnah says you should pour the oil into someone's hair, and then they should carry it in the hair kalachayad, and then they should squeeze it out. Very sanitary. They should squeeze it out from the hair over there. Eye squeezing out from the hair is awesome at the Rabbanon, but at least it's not an isa deraisa. So you minimize the isa, and whatever you can do kalachayad, you should do. So some Rishonim say, from there you see that Pikuach Nefesh is Mutar on Shabbos, is only Dechuya, is not Hutra. If it would have been Hutra, so they wouldn't have to try to minimize. So the Magen Mishnah says it's not necessarily a good proof. Maybe when there's a real suffix, Sakon, then it's Hutra, has to gum. You don't have to draw all these Dreidlach. By the Yoledes, it's not really a suffix, Sakon, because Ruba the Ruba of them, whenever there's a far-fetched suffix, Sakon, then it's only Dechuya. When there's a real suffix, Sakon, then it's Hutra. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. You have to try to do ayudei shinoi when there's a real sakanas nefesh. By yoledes for sure, whenever you can be mishana, you should. And by non yoledes, that's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch.
Going back to the Rabbanan, they say Rabbi Akiva holds that the Rabbanan, the chicken and
milk. Is awesome at the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yosef Gli holds mutter.
How'd that come about? Is Rabbi Akiva the Rabbanan that we're talking about?
He's the one. He instituted it, yeah.
So he's the Rabbanan.
And Rabbi Yosef Gli says, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. You have no right to make Exer the Rabbanan, it's Shalom Litzarech Klal. You only have a right to make Exer the Rabbanan if there's a real concern. This is so far-fetched, people are going to confuse chicken with flesh. You have no right to make Exer the Rabbanan. Even though you made it, it's not Chal, because it's meaningless. That's the Machlaikas. So that's what the Gemara says. Each Balabas should follow his Rebbe Muvik. The Moradas has the status of Rabbi Muvik of all the Balabatim in the community, even years after he passed away. Because that's what the Chazon Ish points out. The Mekom Moshe Rabbi Leizer means even after he died. The Mekom Moshe Rabbi Yosef Glili means years after Rabbi Yosef Glili died. So the Gemara, the Brisa says, Mekom Moshe Rabbi Leizer, whenever there would be a Mila Bizmana, that's Decha Shabbos, not only would they be Mechal Shabbos to perform the actual Mila itself, there would even be Mechal Shabbos for the Machshire Mila, for the Hachonis in advance. We pass like Rabbi Kiva. Only Mila Gufa is Decha Shabbos, the Machshire Mila are not Decha Shabbos. They would break up branches in order to make a fire, in order to melt the metal, in order to manufacture a knife. And the Gemara says, and they were never punished for that, even though his opinion was not accepted, because in his community they were supposed to follow his opinion. And the Gemara says, not only that, when the Roman government years later made Gzeiras Hashmad, not allowing the Jews to perform Mila, in his city the Gzeira was never made. Because they were so mechabev, the mitzvah of Mila, they demonstrated that they cherished it so much. And not only were they Dechah Shabbos for the Mila, they were Dechah Shabbos for the Machshire Mila, so the Gzeira prohibiting Mila was never Chal on his community. That's how Gemara Shabbos adds on. Then when Mekom Moshe Rabbi Yosef Glili, even years after Rabbi Yosef Glili passed away, Ho'yochlem B'sar Reif B'cholov, he didn't hold from the, he holds there's no Issa Deraisa on chicken, there's no Issa Derabbanan either. It doesn't make any sense. So they followed his opinion, and Gemara says also, they were never punished, but they didn't do anything wrong. That's Allah. He's supposed to follow the Morad Asra of the city.
What was their reward for that?
What
was their reward for
you? I don't remember if the Gemara has a reward for them. The reward for Ablazer's city was that the Gezeres Hashmada prohibiting Mila never applied there. The reward for that, I don't remember if the Gemara has there. You got to take a look again. And Shabbos Kuf Lamed, I don't think the Gemara has a reward.
Hopefully it was also
Bishul. Yeah. They would cook it together and eat it, yeah. They would cook it and eat it. Then the Gemara tells the story. But this is in the days of the Tanoim. When you get to the time of the Amoraim, Levi Ikla the Be Yosef Rishbo, Levi was visiting the home of Yosef the hunter. He used to hunt the birds. So this Yosef Rishba, Isilakame Resha de Tvesa, the Chalba, they had some kind of a fowl, a kosher bird, and they cooked it with milk, and they gave him a dish that he should eat it. So he said he doesn't enjoy it. He didn't bop him up and say, "What are you doing? You're cooking chicken with milk." He didn't scream at them. He didn't say anything. He let them get away with it. He didn't eat it personally, but he didn't give them any tochacha. Levi was the Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Hanasi, of Rebbe. So ki osa lekame de Rebbe, when Levi came back to the yeshiva by Rebbe, omalei, so he tells over the story what happened. So Rebbe tells him, amai loy tashmetinu, you should put them in nidui, in shamta. They're violating an isa de rabbanon of basa b'chalav by chicken and milk. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam lists off al chof dal dvarim bezin shalmata menadim. The Gemara has that lashon in one place. The 24 averis for which the bezin shalmata gives cherem, puts people in shamta and cherem. So one of them is the Rambam says one who violates dinam de rabbanon. That's why it's in Hilchos Talmud Torah, because the Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam writes a chiyuv to learn and the chiyuv to listen to the chachamim, even if they invented din de rabbanon. And a weapon to force people to observe the din de rabbanon is cherem nidui shamto for one who violates a din de rabbanon. It sounds as if one who violates a din de raisa, they're going to burn in gehenim. So they don't need a cherem of the rabbanon. One who violates a din de rabbanon, that's the din of shamto. So Rebbe says to Levi, why don't you put them in cherem to force them to observe the din de rabbanon? Omalei. So Levi answers back to Rabbi Ranasi, I didn't know. Asa de Rabbi Yudah ben Beserihi, that city where Yosef Rishba, that hunter, lived, everybody knew that was the community where Rabbi Yudah ben Beserihi used to be the rabbi. The Amina, and I assumed to myself, maybe Rabbi Yudah ben Beserihi held like Rabbi Yosef Glili. Perhaps the Amina and Echab Gizok, Dorish Luk, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Dama Yotza Oib Shein Lo Chol Aveim. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds no Yisr, even with the Rabban. So I thought, this Rabbi Yudah ben Beserihi used to have unusual opinions, and maybe one of his many unusual opinions was that he held like Rabbi Yosef Glili, that there's no Issa de Rabbanon, there isn't even an Issa de Rabbanon on the chicken and the milk. But that's why he didn't scream at them. They have a right to follow their sheet. That's what the Chazanish writes. Even years after Pasha Pshat, even years after Rabbi Yosef Glili passed away, this is Rabbi Yudah ben Beserihi passed away a long time ago. Levi is the Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Hanasi. Rabbi Yudah Hanasi is the last generation of Tanaim. Levi is the first generation of Amorai. They're talking about Mordas or Ablazer. Ablazer was here before. He's no longer, Ablazer ben Hurka is no longer alive at this time. But still, if he was the Mordas, he'd follow his Shita. That's what the Chazanish says. Let's say someone learns Gemara with Shulchan Aruch and he falls in love with the Vilna Gaon. He becomes struck with awe of the Vilna Gaon. He wants to consider himself a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He's going to follow everything the Vilna Gaon says. So he says, Zuntahei, you can pick as your Rebbe Mubik a person who's no longer alive also. Let's say you want to pick the Marshal. Marshal wrote so much on Halacha, we know his opinion on everything. Let's say you find a Ksav Yad from a Rishon, from some obscure Rishon who has a Gevaldige Svara on a certain Din. And I like that Kula. Let's say he has a Kula. I like that Kula. So I want to latch myself on, I want to become a Talmud of his. So the Chazanish says, but if you only have a Ksav Yad on one area of Halacha, only in Basa B'Cholav, so what do you mean you fall in love with him? If his Psokim are not known, I'll call it Torkula. So you can't consider, you can't latch on to him to say, I want to become a Talmud of this Adam Gadol. But if you have, let's say, the Vilna Gaon, he wrote on Abra Chelka Shulchan Aruch. We know his opinion taka on a lot of things, on everything. So you want to latch on to the Vilna Gaon, you want to become a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon Zantay. So follow everything the Vilna Gaon says. The din is that a person is entitled to an opinion if he's a chacham shehigia lahayro. So then he doesn't have to follow his rebbe, doesn't have to follow any rebbe muvak. If he's entitled, if he's a higia lahayro, then he's allowed to formulate his own opinion, even if it's a disagreement with his rebbe. But if he's lo higia lahayro, that's most of the time. Most people are not higia lahayro. Most people of Pinchas and Chuvas are also not Higil. Most people think that they're God's gift to the world. They think they're entitled to an opinion. They're not.
What does that mean,
Higil? He knows how to swim around in Gemara, and he knows how to figure out the correct Psak Halacha. I remember once in the summertime, I used to learn in the mountains in Tanis. Well, I used to learn whatever boys were there, so I used to learn with them all day long. So there was one family that had a lot of boys. So every year I learned with a different boy, Mishnayis, Gemara, whatever it was. And then the next summer, the father would buy me a set of Svarim out of Hakar Satay because I learned with his children the summer before. So the father was away a whole week, and he came on Thursday night. He would come. So I remember one summer, he came and he brought me a whole set of Shalos HaTshuvos by a person who was alive at that time, now that the Chacham already passed away. So on Thursday I was learning with the boys, and then I finished learning, and I start looking in this first volume of the Shalos HaTshuvos. My wife is sitting in the other end of the living room and knitting a sweater or something. So I burst out into laughter. So she says, "What are you reading?" So I said, "I'm reading the Sefer that Yankel Halberstam, he used to live here in the neighborhood." I said, "Yankel Halberstam got me a Sefer." So he says, "What's so funny?" "It's a galachta. This one who wrote the Tshuvos thinks that he knows what he's talking about. Amish a galachta, a joke." Kohen Mechena had six volumes of Tshuvos. They were all a joke. All the Tshuvos are a joke, one after the other. He thought it was a big Talmud Chacham. And people quote him. People quote him all the time. No. In every generation, it's not necessarily our generation. Every generation like that, you have Shadus and Tshuvos written by people who thought that they were God's gift to the world, and they thought they're entitled to an opinion, just not so. So, if a person is really a Chacham Shehigia Lo Hayruah, so then he's permitted and obligated to express his own honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with his Rabbi. But if he's Lo Hayigia Lo Hayruah, then he has to follow Rabbi Muvok. That's the Pasha Peshat in the Pasuk. When it says, when the Bez Nagol gives a Psak, everyone has to follow. Why does everybody have to follow? Because the Bez Nagol is not a political appointment. Bez Nagol is the Gdoli Hador. They really picked the Gdoli Hador. And the Gdoli Hador, Tosis points out in Brochus, a rifle mark. Gdoli Hador have the status of Rabba Muvuk of all of the people who live in that generation, even if I never met him. The Gemara says that when Chana brought her little child, Shmuel, to the Mishkan Shiloh, and Eli was there. So Shmuel, as a young child, was Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. Eli had the din of Rabbi Muvuk. So they said, "What Rabbi Muvuk? This is the first time he ever met him. He never learned anything from him." So Taisa says, "No, that Eli was the God Lador in that generation, and as such, he was considered Rabbi Muvuk of all of the people who lived in his generation." Yeah, so that's the Pashtus. When it says in Chumash, when the Bez Nagol issues a psak, it's binding on all the people in the generation. Why is that so? It's not a din Bez Nagol. In order to be Chayv Misa, if you're a Zokin Mamre, you're Patskin against the Bez Nagol, that has to be Bez Nagol. And Bez Nagol has to have met in the Lishkas Hagozes and the Beis Hamikdash. And if they gave the psak when they were not in the Lishkas Hagozes and the Beis Hamikdash, and you Patskin against them, you're not going to be Chayv Misa. The Chiyav Misa of the Zaka Mamre for paskening against them is only if they issue the psak as Bez Nagorol, Malam Shamok and Gorman have to be in their office in the official location in Beis HaMikdash. But the obligation to follow the psak at Bez Nagorol, many paskim say that's Lav Dafke Bez Nagorol. That's because they have the status of Gedoli Hador, they have the din of Rabbi Muvuk. That's the mocker for this din, that everyone is mechayev to follow Rabbi Muvuk, unless he's a Chacham Shehigia Lo, then he's entitled to it his own opinion. When Moshe Feinstein wrote so many tshuvas, so there was a European Talmud Chacham here in the Queens area, an Ungarisha, who disagreed with Moshe on a lot of things. So he printed a volume that's called Mana Ligora. So Moshe's tshuvas are called Igris Moshe. So this was the response to the Igris Moshe. So he attacks Moshe. A lot of times he has Lamdashe Tainus, a strong Tainus against Moshe. But a lot of times he just attacks. How did Moshe have the chutzpah, the arrogance, to think that he knows how to learn better than Rabbi Yehuda, and better than the Vilna Gaon, and better than the Chasam Sofer, that he says he disagrees with all of them. So Moshe was very hurt by that, why he printed such a Sefer. Now, Gurus Rabbanim at that time made an Issa, no one's allowed to sell a Sefer, so the guy lost money on the Sefer, because it's a very chutzpahdik Sefer. So, those who remember Rabbi Moshe, he was an extremely humble person. He was not arrogant at all. He was extremely humble. He was not arrogant. So when they confronted Rabbi Moshe, how do you disagree with the Chassam? So you think that you're greater than the Chassam? So they said, he doesn't think he's greater at all. He doesn't know if he's Higi Elohai Roi either. He says he's not so convinced that he's entitled to an opinion. But the other Rabbanim of the generation keep on insisting they want to hear Rabbi Moshe's opinion. They all deferred to him because they felt he knew how to paskin better than everybody else put together. So if the others keep on pressuring me, and they think that I'm Higil or us, they gave in to them and he printed his Tshuvos. But he himself wasn't so convinced, he said. This is the Gemara. The next Mishnah is a new topic. Next Mishnah is a new topic. Dova Hamamid. Okay.
Maybe how can we always have a Bada Krishna according to the Quran? If we don't pass from anything else,
most of the things when they grow up, most people do not follow. Yeah.
So why do we have the Bada
Krishna? Yeah,
I know it's half an hour later.
This somehow did become accepted. Some of the things when they go on did become. Like Tzeisat Kochavim also.
The really Goyen said himself that if the community has already adopted a different meaning for a long time, they should not change the meaning just because he said it.
Zmanim though, like Tzeisat Kochavim. According to Rabbi Natam, Tzeisat Kochavim is so long after Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos only begins 50 minutes after the Shkia. First 50 minutes after the Shkia is Vadayom. And then Bein Hashmashos begins. So the Don Gaon says, Achush Makchish is just not so. So the Shach writes in Hilchas Milah and Yerideya that he sees that in Vilna they don't follow, the meaning is not like the Rabbi Natam. According to Rabbi Natam, let's say a baby is born on Matzoi Shabbos 40 minutes after the Shkia. That's considered
still Shabbos. Still
Shabbos. So you do the bris next Shabbos. So the Shach writes, he doesn't think that's the common practice. We assume that was always a minig, apparently in many places. We assume that right after the Shkia is right away Bein Hashmash. So with respect to that Zman, the minig, the Shach writes, the minig was already before the Vilna Gaon wrote his comments on the Shulchan Aruch. It was already practiced, not like the Rabbi Natam. And this is connected with that. It's not necessarily totally zebzeh, but the zmanim of zman kriyashma, zman tefillah, is one big package deal with the rest of the Vilna Gaon about the zmani hayom. So that was accepted in many communities.
Talking about the Rav also, a passage like that, like the girl.
The Bein Hashmash begins right away. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, the next Mishnah is a little complicated. On the next Mishnah, there's a famous printed in Rashi on Kufta Zayin Amid Beis. Just point out historically. You see, there's a long Rashi. It starts from the top line and it goes till it says Gemara. This is one long paragraph. Till it says Gemara in big letters in Rashi. And the last sentence says, Kematzasa binimuki Rabbeinu Shlomo b'Rab Meir. That was Rashi's grandson. Rashi had a son-in-law, Rabbeinu Meir, and he had three sons. The Rashbam, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Rabbeinu Meir, was the oldest son. Rabbeinu Tam was a younger brother of the Rashbam, and the youngest one was Shlomo, who was born after Rashi passed away. The Rashbam was the oldest brother. He learned with Rashi. Rashbam usually says exactly the same as Rashi. He always follows Rashi on the Gemara. Whenever there's a Shana Halacha, because he learned with Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam did not learn. He was a little child when Rashi died, and he changed the tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. He disagreed with Rashi all the time. Very, very lightly. He dismisses Rashi very lightly. A lot of times Rashi himself, if he did Rashi slowly and carefully, Rashi answers all the kashas of Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rabbeinu Tam didn't have that much respect. So he just ignores what Rashi says. Rabbeinu Shlomo was the youngest, who was born after Rashi died. He was named after Rashi. Right? The Ashkenazim, they don't have the minhag to name after the grandfather when the grandfather's still alive. So after Rashi died, he was one. There's a long arichas here, it's Nagel Alocha. This is quoted in Yerideya. The three different shitas on the keva. All right, we'll have to learn it next week. In this week's Sedra, the Chumash tells about Yosef HaTzadik. The Midrashim say the reason why we refer to him as Yosef HaTzadik because he withstood the temptation of the Eishes Potiphar. Wanted to sin with him, and he was able to withstand it. So that's considered an unusual tzidkis. So according to Rashi, quotes the Medrash, the two pshotim, it says, one fine day, vayava Yosef habaisa lasas malachto. One fine day, comes some lasas malachta. So Rashi has from the Gemara Machloek, what does it mean lasas malachta? One shot, he came home to do his work, accounting work, or whatever he was supposed to do, and then Eishes Potiphar started up with him. The other shot is no. He came home specially, he was planning to sin with this Eishes Ish. And then the any shamba bayis, there was nobody there. So the mashmash, there was someone else there. There was no one there for anshi abayis, but there was who was there? Someone else. The musti yukna shalav him nira salav b'chalon. That's what Rashi quotes. That he imagined that his father was watching, looking from the window. So when he imagined his father's image, so he got scared and he realized he can't go through with this avera that prevented him from sinning. Rav Soloveitchik printed an essay many years ago that's called Isha Halacha. His father, Moshe Soloveitchik, died in 1941, before I was born. And then he delivered a hesped, and he described his father's Derech Halima and his father's style of Hashkofe. And soon after he delivered the hesped, a couple of months after, a year after, so he wrote up the whole hesped. It's called Isha Halacha. His father was an Isha Halacha. And he said he himself is not like his father. His father didn't have any strain of Hasidus at all. And his father was the Rav in Chaslavich, a Lubavitcher village, and the Baltikeya started to cry before he blew shofar. So his father came out, Akal to Litvak, and said, what are you crying about? They cried before Yisheka Lulav, what are you crying before Tkiya Shofar? And he didn't have the attitude like his father. Tkiya Shofar is a form of tefillah. Of course it makes sense to cry. He does, in Isha Halacha, doesn't write his feelings, he just describes his father. When his uncle passed away, Rav Velvela Soloveitchik, was a younger brother. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had three sons. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was the second son. The oldest one was Gershon Soloveitchik. He was a little sickly. So he had a son who was the Rav in Zurich. He died around 10 years ago. And the second son was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He was in New York, and she was Havitz Kohana. And then Rav Velvela Soloveitchik. So when Rav Velvela passed away, Rav Soloveitchik delivered a hesped, and he wrote up that hesped also. That's called Madoidech Midoid. There's a lot of repeat between the description of his father, the description of his uncle. There's a lot of repetition about the Derech HaLimud, and they're both written by Rav Soloveitchik. So at the beginning of the Yes, Yish Halacha, he has this caption, Demus Diyukna Shalaviv Nira Salo Bachalom. So the people who read it, someone published an essay many years ago trying to figure out what sin was Rabbi Soloveitchik considering to violate. And so Dr. Schatz pointed out, what do you mean, what sin? This is a description of his father. He meant Musti Yukta Shalavim. He's giving you a description of his father. Yosef HaTzadik was planning to sin, and because he visualized his father was there, so he prevented him from sinning. What was the story with the father, with the sinning? So you read in the beginning of the parsha that Yosef kiben zikunim hulo, pasuk gimel and vayeshi kiben zikunim hulo. So Rashi quotes three pshatim from the Medrash. What's pshat ben zikunim? So one of the pshatim is like it says, they say v'tokem hadarta penei zokim. So the Gemara in Kiddushin understands zokim means zeshikana chochma. It doesn't mean an older person. Seva means an older person, even if he's not learned. You should respect your elders, and Vadarta Pnezok, and you should show kovet to a Tamachachem, even if he's a youngster, even if the Tamachachem is much younger than you. So he wrote, Ben Zikuni means Shekana Chachma. All of the Torah that Yankel Avina had learned by Yeshiva Shem V'Yever, he gave everything over to his son Yosef. He gave over to Yosef more than to the other children. Yosef is really the one who is going to get the whole Masorah over here. So then Yosef realizes, I'm carrying on the Masorah, and I'm going to sin with an Eshes Ish. I don't deserve to be one of the Bali Amasaira if I'm going to sin like this. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that if a guy is a big Talmid Chacham, is Mezalzal on, the Gemara talks about Pasakum, he violates, even if it's only Mezalzal on a Din de Rabbanon, you're not allowed to say Halacha B'Shem Amra in his name. If he said over a Din, even if you accept a Din, you're not allowed to say B'Shem Amra. You can't consider a Balavera one of the Chachmei HaMasorah. Such a Gemara in Hakoinis and Babakam also. One of those Averis, Mezalzalin, Mitzvah Satorah, he can't consider him one of the Bali HaMasorah. So that's what Yosef realized. The father poured so much into me in the learning. I'm the Ben Zikunim. I'm the one, Zeshikara Chachma. Then I'm going to sin. I'll lose my status as one of the Chachmei HaMasorah. The Gemara has such a lotion also. The Musti Yuknim Shalom Niras Halo B'Chalon. How can I validate the Avera? I have the whole Masorah of the Torah. And then also he realized, he understood that the names of all of the Shvatim will be engraved on the Choshen of the Kain Gadol. And if he sins, he won't deserve to be considered one of the Shvatim. Won't be there. The other Shvatim, you read the Chumash, sounds like they all sinned. But according to the tradition, Yosef is the one who almost sinned and didn't. this should prevent all of us from sinning. We should all have this attitude. People that sit and learn Torah. Sometimes you have Rabbanim, Eretz Yisrael in America, they have scandals in recent years about prominent Rabbanim who do prominent Averis. Not time we talk a little Lashon Hara. Some of my best friends talk Lashon Hara. But the prominent Rabbanim do prominent Averis. So how can you respect them? A person that does Averis is not right to be considered one of the Chachmei HaMaser. I don't think we have to write of them, but we should no longer look up to them. We shouldn't ask any shaylos anymore of such people. If they're mezalzel in mitzvah satara, they're not considered the Chachmei HaMaser. So that's what the Chazal understand by Yosef. Hi.
Mexico was just charged now. Again now. It's the second time.
No, you like that.
Rashi and Mabukunim, also one of the three Pshatim is the Yuknal Shal. It's the Yuknal Shal of it. In that Rashi.
Facial features.
Yeah, so in that Rashi, so it appears there, and then again later on.
Yes.
I thought maybe later on he was looking in the mirror. And he saw the Yuknal Shal, he saw it through the mirror. Maybe he was.
Maybe.
Saw the reflection of it.
Maybe that's what I mean.
Targum says Kafi, if Kafi might say. Targum says.